Blog Talk Radio.
I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood.
Reagan with Front Row Motorsports, driver of the Dockside Logistics Ford, and you're listening to the Pit Stop Radio Show with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big thanks to Talladega Super Speedway Track President Grant Lynch and Public Relations Director Russell Burnham. Purchase your tickets for the Winn-Dixie 300 on May the 2nd for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, or the GEICO 500 on May 3rd for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Call 877-GO-TO-DAGA or visit TalladegaSuperSpeedway.com. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. And tonight on our starting grid, we got at 7:30 Eastern Time, we got Director of Public Relations at Martinsville Speedway, Mr. Mike Smith. And at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, driver of the number 63 Chevy Silverado, for MB Motorsports, making his NASCAR Camper War Truck Series debut at Martinsville Speedway, Mr. Jake Griffin. So let's get everything started. I'm waiting on Stephen Wilson to come in here, and I'm going to put everybody on hold for just a second. I think Suzanne's having problems, so let me jump over here and help her out with these calls. I'll be right back. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Okay, at this time, I want to bring our Reverend on, Reverend Joe, out there in Riverside, California. Reverend Joe, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Well, good afternoon, guys. How's everything?
Everything's going good, Reverend. We finally got some nice weather and loving it, bud. How you feeling? You getting over that crud you had?
Yeah, it's almost over, but boy, it just comes back all of a sudden every once in a while. But why don't we get started and then we can chat a little.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Reverend. You got the floor, bud.
Lord, we come before you today and we thank you for not only the better weather across the country, but the wonderful racing over the weekend. The West Coast swing was interesting and exciting. And I sure got to see a lot of old friends. I ask you to bless them all, take good care of them, and be with them. I ask you to bless all those all over the country that are traveling the races this year, regardless of where they are, small tracks, big tracks. We all need to get out to the racetrack. I ask you to bless all of our soldiers overseas, all the men and women in the United States that protect us every day, be with their wives, their families. And we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so we'd have a clean path into heaven. We thank you for all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend. And I want to send my condolences to everybody that don't know that you lost your father this past week. And me and Suzanne and everybody here at Speedway Digest Radio and all our Americans, we're praying for him. So I just wanted, I hadn't had time to do that, but I want to send my condolences.
Well, I appreciate that very much. It wasn't surprising, but, you know, when you get that call, it still always throws you back. But he was 90. Actually, turned 90 4 days before he passed away. But that was kind of similar to what my mother did a few years back. So they're together now, and that's a good thing. So I thank you for the well wishes. And I was just overwhelmed with the number of people that IM'd me or texted me or called me from all over Facebook and all the rest. I think from what I could measure, there was 310 messages I got, and then when I got to the racetrack this past week, more people walked up to me and gave me their condolences and a hug, and just it was just neat to know that people are not only care, but they're actually paying attention when you're posting things and when you're doing things. And it's just such an encouragement, you know.
Yes, sir. Amen, Reverend. And if you want to stay on here for a few minutes, we've got a ABC 3340 meteorologist Megan Thomas. We want to bring her on. We want to stay on, Reverend. And, you know, like I said, I apologize for not getting with you sooner, but our condolences are with you and your. Okay. Let's bring meteorologist Megan Thomas for ABC 3340 over in Birmingham. I have nicknamed her Mother Nature. Let's bring her into the pit stop with Tim Despains and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Megan, or Mother Nature, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Thank you again for taking time out to call on the show and give us our race weekend forecast for Martinsville, Virginia, for the STP 500, and also the local forecast for here during Talladega. You got the floor, sweetie. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. All right. So this Friday, if you're headed up early, there's a 30% chance of showers. Highs will be in the 40s in Martinsville, Virginia. Then overnight low, that cold air that is bulldozing this direction into Birmingham, well, it's hitting Martinsville, Virginia first. Overnight lows on Friday will be in the 20s. On Saturday's highs only in the 60s, but we'll see some sunshine. On Saturday night, it'll stay partly cloudy with a low around 26. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 53, so a little bit warmer than Saturday, and overnight lows near 38 with clouds building back in. But if you do stay till Monday, highs get back into the 60s, so kind of balmy around there. But it's going to be a little chilly there, and it's going to be chilly here this weekend, too. We could see temperatures back down in the 50s and into the 30s overnight. So don't plant anything just yet here in Birmingham. We've still got that late season freeze coming.
Yes, ma'am. And I watched James either this morning or at lunchtime. Yeah, he said anybody that planted something, probably a bad idea.
Very bad idea. It'll probably die this weekend, unfortunately. But then
temperatures
go back in the 70s and we'll be good to go.
You guys are having a tough time with global warming back there. I think you're going to look for Al Gore.
Don't get me started on global warming. I don't believe it. I think it's
so
natural variation. I think the Earth goes in cycles. So
yes, it does.
That's my viewpoint.
It sure does, Megan.
Yeah.
You know, when you read history and you read the Bible, you realize we've gone through these cycles for thousands of years.
Oh,
why all of a sudden would we think we had something to do with it? You know, it's silly.
Yeah, we've had, it's called the Mahler minimum, where there's not been a lot of solar flares, and what happens is we go into a mini ice age, and, you know, the ice caps melt every year, they refreeze every year, so it's all variation. I don't think there's big story on it. The inconvenient truth, we did actually a paper and a project on it in graduate school, and we found so many false statements in that entire movie. So that's a whole nother day.
Well, you know, we're having a problem with the opposite out here in California. It's been gorgeous and in the 80s and 90s, and the West Coast swing was real good with the stock cars because had gorgeous weather throughout.
Yes, absolutely. I'm jealous. I love California.
Well, come on back to California.
We all do.
I will try.
Well, it's good talking to you, Megan.
Good talking to y'all. I hope y'all have a good night, okay? And enjoy the weekend and stay warm, I should say.
Megan, I was going to give you a chance, like we always do, to throw out there where everybody can follow you on social media if you got just a second. I know you're busy, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. On Facebook, you can find me at Meteorologist Megan Thomas. You can friend me. Right now, I'm up to 5,000 friends, so unfortunately, that's the limit, but you can also follow me. You can just click the follow button, and it's real simple. I talk to everybody every day, ask everybody a question, how they're doing. It's fun. And then on Twitter, at MegTom_WX.
Megan, thank you very much for being our weather lady and Mother Nature, and we'll talk at you next week.
All right, sounds great.
Take care. No, Tim, where are you finding all these good-looking
women? Well, when you come down south, Reverend, that's them southern belles, bud.
I can remember those days of traveling up and down the East Coast racing, and we'd leave up in northeast in February, March, when it was cold as heck up there and everybody was bundled up in brown. And we get down around Martinsville and so on, and there was flowers and green grass and women wearing shorts. Like dynamite. Now, California, we got that 24/7, so it's a tough life out here.
We've got my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Let's bring Stephen into the pit stop. The team that's playing Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud? Sorry to keep you on hold. We had a little technical difficulties, and Suzanne got everything figured out, and we had Megan Thomas come on. What's going on, my friend?
I'm doing all right. I don't think I'll like to hear too much of that weather forecast this weekend in Martinsville. It sounded a little cold to me.
Yeah, I know. That's what Reverend Joe was talking about. He's out there in sunny California, and then Megan's talking about that little cold snap coming down, and I know you might be headed that way. You've been thinking about it, so not to wear your long johns, bud.
Yeah, man, it wouldn't be the first time that it's been cold up there in Martinsville. I've been up there when it snowed, so it's a crazy time of year. You go up there one spring, it'll be nice out there, and you go up there the next spring, and it's snowing out there, so you never know what you're going to get out there in the foothills of the Appalachians.
That's right.
Boy,
that's
that
right.
Is so
and
true.
We got Reverend Joe. Reverend Joe stayed in here with us, and he won't stay on a little while, so he's feeling a lot better. And I know, you wanted me to cover the Xfinity Series, and you was going to cover the Cup Series, but I know you got the email from NASCAR, bulletin number 10. They've done changed yet again everything in their brother and the NASCAR rule book. Do you want to touch a little bit on that? Because there's no way we can click on all this and talk about it. It didn't take the whole 2 hours.
I have not actually gotten a chance to look at it. I saw it come through in its alert on my phone earlier, but I hadn't had some little bit of information, but I haven't had a chance really to look into it yet.
I hadn't either, Stephen. That's what I told Suzanne. I said I got the bulletin, but I said, I'm going to go in there and see if I can print it off. But when I went to it, I was like, oh, gee, this is going to take forever. But, Stephen, I'll go ahead and start with the Xfinity Series, and we'll go to the Cup, and we'll get with Reverend Joe. Kevin Harvick won the DriveForClots.com 300 at the Auto Club Speedway this past weekend, his 46th victory in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Prior to the start of the race, the following cars dropped to the rear of the field for reasons indicated. Number 70-01 was unapproved adjustments. Time of the race was 2 hours, 1 minute, 51 seconds. Average speed was 147.723 miles per hour. Margin of victory for Mr. Harvick, Happy Harvick, was 3.317 seconds. Caution flags, 3 for 12 laps. Lead changes, 13 among Yanks drivers. I'm not going to read all that off, and I'm not going to go through the infraction sheet. But your top 10 drivers, I'm not going to go through that neither. Stephen, I'm just going to stop right there since we're getting on the end of the show because we got our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mr. Mike Smith from Martinsville Speedway. You got the floor, bud, with the Cup Series.
The Cup Series out in Fontana, California, fifth race of the year. And Brad Keselowski, the winner out there, 17th victory in 202 Sprint Cup Series events. His first victory, top five of 2015. Kevin Harvick again continued his streak of top one or two finishes out there, extending it to 8. It's the first time since 1972 when Richard Petty did it the last time that this single driver has done this, and he's going to march into Martinsville again this weekend, looking to extend that to 9. Kurt Busch had a heck of a run out there all weekend, had the opportunity to go out there and win. Fortunately, he finished third. Brad Keselowski, like I said, he was the winner out there. Took 4 tires on that final pit stop out there. A little bit controversial. I know a lot of people would probably agree with that, with the caution that came out. Brett Moffitt, he had a good run. He was the highest finishing rookie out there, 22nd out there, not doing too bad. He's back in the number 55 car again for Brian Vickers, who has been a sideline for blood clots. He was back at Las Vegas last week, back out of the car again this week in Fontana, so it'll be about 3 months or so before he's back into the car. He's back on blood clot medication and working with his doctors on this issue. Kevin Harvick still leads the points out there, 28 points over Joey Logano. You know, interesting fact, it took Penske Racing last year 7 events to get both drivers locked into the chase. It took 5 this year with getting both Joey Logano winning and the Daytona 500 and 4 races later with Brad Keselowski in victory lane, locking himself into the chase along with Kevin Harvick and Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, interesting points there, Steve. And I'm gonna step aside since our Reverend's feeling a lot better than he did last week whenever you had him. And Steve, I'm gonna thank you again for being a host of the show last week. You've done a hell of a job while I was at a business trip. But if you don't mind, I'm gonna step aside and let you and Reverend Joe talk, because I know Reverend wanted to talk last week, but he was just so sick he just couldn't do it. So I'm gonna step on the side. Reverend, you got the floor with Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com.
You know, I got to talk to Brian Vickers on Sunday morning. He was at California. His attitude was up. His feelings were he was going to get through this, and everything would be fine, and that, you know, he's doing what he loves, and a few setbacks are never going to slow him down. And I love that kind of attitude of him. And he said, basically, it is what it is, and you live with it, and you don't let it get you down. You just keep moving forward with what you got to do to get better. And I was just real glad to see him. I hated it when I heard on Friday that he was going to be out of the car. And but he was in real good spirits. Also, got to mention that Kurt Busch was in great spirits and was just said, hey, I'm just going to look forward. I'm going to do what's right. And I'm just going to continue on. And spoke to several drivers about those kinds of situations that we saw with Kurt. And I said, you know, the biggest thing is, as a preacher, we're always told in Bible college and so on, no matter what you do, don't put yourself in a position where you're alone with a woman that you're not married to. Don't counsel them alone. Make sure you got your wife with you or another person to be safe. And mentioned that to several drivers over the weekend, and they all felt that there was a lesson that they learned, and they were all going to have to watch themselves because it's too darn easy for things to happen. And it was a shame that it bit him the way it did. But I think he's going to be a stronger driver this year than we've seen in a few years.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on Kurt Busch. You know, he came into the season on very high hopes after last season. You know, he was locked into the chase with his virtue of his victory there at Martinsville Speedway last year. You know, didn't run so well in the chase, got knocked out fairly early in that. But, you know, he came back with very high hopes this year, and then everything got thrown away 2 days before the Daytona 500, out for 3 weeks, came back in Las Vegas and did one heck of a job. He showed that, you know, he hadn't lost anything when he went to Las Vegas. Came to Fontana again this weekend, led all 3 practice sessions, took the pole out there, and, you know, he was out there. He was going to win that race. That was his race to lose. He was doing everything a driver needed to do to win that race, even though that Kevin Harvick was bearing down on him, cutting into the time, coming there to about 2 to go. And, of course, final caution came out through the field, you know, around. Brad Keselowski, you know, ultimately took 4 tires when everybody else took 2, gave him the win out there. But, you know, he showed impeccable driving skills out there as a driver. To be able to come from such adversity with that kind of weight kind of lifted off his shoulders, he's got a lot to prove this year. He's already showing that he wants to prove everybody wrong, most definitely. You know, when it comes to Brian Vickers, You know, Brian Vickers has had a tough time over these last 2 years, starting back in 2013, the first time he was pulled out of the car, and then again in 2014. And here in 2015, you know, he's back out the car. This is the third time. He's had one surgery before. He's been through rounds of medication because of his blood clots. Last surgery was because of a clot in his leg. You know, he's had a tough time over the last 2 years, 18 months or so, give or take. It's strange to see a driver that has such high hopes, so much potential, and just a general attitude of, you know, I'm not going to let this get me down, even though that he knows it's the third time he's been pulled out of that car, and he just continues to persevere the entire way through these issues that he's had. And, you know, everybody on that team seems to be, you know, 100% behind him. You know, maybe other drivers wouldn't get that opportunity, but, you know, he's out the car. He's got to go through this round of medications yet again, about 3 months. He said it there at Fontana, he'd probably be out. But this gives a young Brett Moffitt a chance to go out there and show what he can do. He's bounced between being there in that car, then going over to Front Row Motorsports to take over, and now he's back in the 55 again. So he's getting an opportunity to be out there and show what he can do as a young driver, so that when an opportunity does come along, he can be able to seize that opportunity, whether it be with Michael Waltrip Racing or whoever else out there that, you know, might be looking to hire him.
Yeah, you know, here's a young guy who not only is a good driver, but normally you have to pay your dues for a while before you ever get the opportunity to jump in the kind of equipment he's been jumping into. And he's done it without getting a swelled head. He's jumped into the 55 and run strong with it, real strong. For a guy who, you know, when you think about jumping from car to car, that always messes with you some. But he's doing a great job, and I see a big future for him. But another person I wanted to mention, Stephen, was had a nice chat with Tony Stewart. I've known Tony Stewart since before he got up into the upper levels of NASCAR. And I said to him, I said, Tony, I want you to stop worrying about all this stuff. Listen up. So don't worry about any of this stuff. Just drive the race car. It's yours. You own it. Nobody's going to throw you out of it. And he said to me, yep, it's going to come around soon. And it's going to come around by itself. And if I worry about it, I'm going to make it worse. He said, so don't worry about it. I'm going forward. And he did definitely on Sunday. Did a darn decent job. They just got to get some bugs worked out that, as I told him, I said, you know, some of those bugs may not be in the car. They might be in the driver's seat. And there's nothing wrong with the guy in the driver's seat, but it takes time to get your head clear from these things. And, you know, like we talked about, everybody looks at it a little different. Tony's got a million things going on and doesn't help. And then you turn around with Kurt Busch, and you'd assumed with all the garbage that went on with him, he might have a slow comeback. But, boy, he was on fire. And it's great to see. It was the West Coast Swing was fantastic this year. Had a great time. Got to talk to a lot of old friends. Got to meet the new Miss Coors. Rachel, the old Miss Coors, was a good friend. And she introduced me to the new gal because she's only got five more races herself. Rachel does. And then the new gal takes over. So a lot of interesting stuff going on in every way, which is exciting. You know, it's a different kind of exciting in the sport. And then, you know, we've got the possible change in 2017 with Sprint. So it's everybody in the garage is up. There's more cars in the Cup garage than there have been in a couple of years. And there's an awful lot of guys doing awful well.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I'll have to agree that, you know, if you rewind 10 years ago, and you would have asked me what I would have thought about the racing there at Fontana, I would have given you my honest opinion. I would have told you to bulldoze the place and move somewhere else. But, you know, that track is 20 years old. They haven't repaved it in 20 years, since 1995. and that track has weathered in very, very nicely. We saw better racing last year and this year than we had in the previous 18 years of, you know, racing out in Fontana. It's become a nicer track. I think even with the bumps out there, the drivers sometimes have an issue with handling onto the car. It's produced better racing, closer racing, and as we saw, we were going to have a good finish out there. We still did have a decent finish out there if it wouldn't have been for that last caution. But that final caution, you know, I know some people are probably a little irritated and ticked off about it, but you know, it's just racing. You move on, you go to the next event, and that's just what it is. But we saw better racing out there at Fontana than I think we've seen in many, many years, and hopefully Auto Club Speedway and ISC will leave the track the way it is and not repave it right now, because it's in good shape as far as racing is concerned.
Well, you know, the last 3 years have been great racing.
I definitely agree. I mean, we've seen some really great racing. And, gentlemen, I hate to interrupt, but Reverend Joe, we got our Bob and Earl call wrong. Would you like to stay on, or do you need to go?
No, I'll let you go, and we'll talk next week. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
All right,
week.
Reverend. All right, Reverend Joe, you too. Thanks again, bud.
Take care, Stephen.
You too.
All right, that was our Reverend Joe. Stephen, we've got Director of Public Relations at Martinsville Speedway, Mr. Mike Smith, waiting right here. We're going to bring him on with a big, big bang, and I know he's got a lot to talk about this big racing coming up here at his track at Martinsville. And I'm going to tell you, last year I really enjoyed it. I mean, that was my first time at Martinsville. I've been to Bristol 7 times, and I do not want a dog rooting this track, but I'm telling you, listeners, if y'all want to see some great short track racing, head to Martinsville this weekend. Let's bring Mr. Mike Smith on from Martinsville Speedway.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Mike, how you doing?
That woke me up.
Well, thank you. Yeah, me and Stephen Wilson, Speedway Digest, and Suzanne, we've all worked on these buttons for the show, and we got everything sort of tuned up and just having a ball. But how's everything up there in the morning?
Actually, we're tuning everything up. We're just getting the choir in order for this weekend.
That sounds great. And, you know, I want to thank you again for y'all allowing me and Suzanne, you know, with Stephen and his wife, Anne-Marie. They've been up there a bunch of times. That was mine and Suzanne's first trip. And Suzanne's a big Dale Jr. fan. And she actually bought a T-shirt. You know, Dale Jr. won his first grandfather clock. And I think that's a real mark. I mean, Junior was just tickled to death just to win that grandfather clock, bud.
Yeah, y'all, if she's a Junior fan, she picked the right race to come, that's for sure. And you're talking about having a joint rocking. When he took the lead and won the race, I've never seen any venue of any type rock the way that place rocked.
No, we didn't either, Mike. We didn't either. And before I hand you over to Stephen, I know you're very busy, and thanks again for coming on the show. Would you like to talk about what kind of specials y'all got as far as ticket prices and stuff, you know, for maybe veterans, or I don't know if you have anything for veterans. I probably didn't mean to throw it out there, but just what kind of stuff you got going on for this coming up weekend? I know it's Tuesday night and everything's getting real close, but if you want to talk about that, Mike, go ahead, bud.
Well, you know, we've got all kinds of stuff. We do have a military offer. You can go to our website and find that. We've got, our tickets start at $50 this week, which is a tremendous price for a Sprint Cup ticket. And you guys know from last year, you can see everything from every seat in the house up there. We've got a great family four-pack, two adults, two kids, for $99. We've got a college ticket. I mean, we've got all kinds of cool stuff. You can go to 877 Race Ticks or go online to MartinsvilleSpeedway.com and find all those great ticket offers.
And listeners, just like Mike said, this is a mile and a half from Mayhem. I'm telling you, you have got to go to Martinsville Speedway. And Mike, I want to bring this up, and I don't know if you can touch on it beforehand, over to Stephen. What was the deal with the hot dog change? You know, I got to eat my first Martinsville hot dog. What was the deal with that? Can you touch on it or not?
Well, you know, I can say when you eat your next Martinsville Speedway hot dog, you won't tell any difference from the first one. You know, there's a backstory to everything, and you know, we don't like to get into certain things around business, but you know, we guarantee the hot dog has not changed, even though we have a Valleydale wiener now. You guys are probably aware that, you know, we serve our hot dogs to Meade and Daytona every year during Speed Weeks. We serve 750 of these new hot dogs to the Meade and Daytona. We didn't tell them. You know, nobody noticed. Nobody said anything. Today we had Clint Boyer in for some media stuff, and we had media from about 20 different outlets there. They all enjoyed our new hot dog. Clint gave it a big thumbs up. He thought it was as good, if not better, than the winner we've been using in the past. And the bottom line is we're able to keep our hot dog still at $2.
Exactly right. And I'm going to throw that out there. You know, me and Suzanne had a trick up there with Stephen and his wife, and Marie. I keep bringing them up. But I got to eat my first Martinsville hot dog back in October, and I'm going to pull one of them Bobby Bowden's. I was like, dang, good one. That something was good. And Stephen, which I'm fit to hand you over to Stephen. Stephen buys them by the bag, right? Stephen, I don't know how many. I'm gonna throw Stephen under the bus since he did me last week when I was out of town on a business trip. He must have had 15 or 20 in the bag when he came up to the press box.
Hey, they're so cheap, but you know, you can buy 15 or 20 of them.
Yes, sir. Exactly right. Yeah, and. And Mike, thanks again. I know your time's limited, and I'm going to hand you over to Stephen. I don't know if Stephen's going to try to make it this time or not, but probably the fall, me and Suzanne are going to try to make it back up there again. We've got a real big schedule. We're going to go to Richmond, Talladega, probably Darlington, and Miami. But Mike, thanks again, bud, for y'all taking care of us last year. And I'm going to hand you over to Stephen.
Okay,
Stephen,
you guys come back and see us, okay?
Yes, sir, we will. Had a blast, brother. Had a blast. But I'm going to hand you over to CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson, and I'll let him send you on whenever he gets done. Thanks again, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And Mike, Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com.
Hey, man.
I'm going to tell you this story. I came to Martinsville Speedway when I was about 8 years old. It was my first race ever coming to NASCAR with my grandfather, and we returned back every single year. And I think over the time, I've probably eaten about 300 of those little $2 little red gut grenades, as I've renamed them over the years to everybody. And to those that may not know, you know, Valleydale hot dogs, I can't tell the difference between them. I don't know anybody that can tell the difference between them and Jesse Joe's, just tell you the truth.
Well, it's like I said earlier, you know, we've had them out there with media folks eating them. We served a bunch of them today, and everybody enjoyed them. Nobody could tell the difference. So we're going to quit worrying about hot dogs and go racing.
That's right. Well, Mike, you know, this is the first weekend we've gotten to a real short track. You know, tempers will flare. This is the first weekend out of the year that drivers will have an opportunity to use that chrome horn on somebody that may have done them wrong in the past. And what kind of racing are you guys expecting out there this weekend?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be the normal Martinsville race. You know, I think you will see a lot of beating and banging. Both Jimmy Johnson and Clint Boyer, and talking to them, think the new rules package, you know, will have an effect at Martinsville for a change. But they think it's going to have a really good positive effect. They think drivers can be able to run a little bit deeper into the corners. They think they're going to be able to get off the corners a little bit better, and should make passing coming off the corners a little bit easier.
You know, Martinsville over the last you know, I guess about 10 years or so. It's changed hands. These guys have done an excellent job with keeping that history out there at the racetrack. Trying to go a little bit retro-themed out there with the way that you've been rebuilding out there. How do you balance that between the historical nature of Martinsville Speedway but still continue to innovate out there for fans and get them to come back into the stands?
Well, one of the things that's key for us, Steven, is all of us at the racetrack, one, we get racing. Two, we understand the history and the importance of history and the legacy of our racetrack. So, you know, while we have to keep things modern for our fans and keep things updated, you know, we also like to throw in the historic touches, like having as often as possible having historic drivers there, people like Junior Johnson and Bobby Allison doing things. You know, and the one thing that has not changed is the shape of the racetrack, and that is what creates so much excitement. I mean, the track is in the exact same shape as it was in 1947 when Red Byron won the very first race there. It may have been dirt then, but it's shaped the exact same way, and it's that distinct, unique shape that makes racing so exciting here.
And, Mike, I'm not going to try and throw you under the bus, but I will try and gently say this as possible. You know, Mike, you came from the old school of NASCAR. You've been around for quite a few years out there at Martinsville Speedway. You know, how has your perception of how you guys do your job out there in the modern age out there with trying to, like I said, balance that history out there, but also trying to hit some of the millennials and get some of these fans out there with connections on social media and other avenues that weren't available when you first started?
Well, you know, as with anything in life, you've got to change as life changes, as the sport changes, as communications change. And we've been able to do that, to stay current with social media and digitally, but at the same time blending our history in with things, a lot of great Throwback Thursday things, you know, posting as many videos as we can. Like, we did a series of videos with folks like Richard Petty and Junior Johnson coming into this race, urging them to come out to the race. So there's a way to do it, and quite frankly, a lot of it is so much easier than the way we had to toil away at some of these things 15, 20 years ago.
Michael, I appreciate you taking the time to come on tonight. I know you're real busy trying to get this weekend ready to go. I may make it out there this weekend to Martinsville on Sunday. Not sure just yet, but I'm going to try and make it out that way. But, you know, you guys do a heck of a job out there every year with Martinsville Speedway and give you the opportunity, like we do everybody else, you know, let everybody know what's going on, where to follow you guys on social media and anything you guys got coming up this weekend with the race.
Well, you know, the best thing people can do is check our website out, martinsvillespeedway.com, or give us a call at 877-RACETICKS. We've still got great seats left at great prices. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. We're out there everywhere. And, you know, if you can't get to the race, you know, you can tune in on FS1, on MRN, or follow us digitally through our tweets and our Facebook posts.
All right, Mike. Well, I appreciate it. Have a good weekend out there at Martinsville, and hope to talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Come see us, man.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, Bear. I'll try to add up the questions if there. You touched on one thing earlier. I won't say it, man. I'm just before the top before the next guest. Let's bring it on, and we'll all discuss this little phantom caution for a few minutes.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hello?
Hey, Todd, it's Dan. You got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, Tim is cutting in and out a little bit on the show, so I just sent him a message letting him know what's going on. But I'll go on and take over for a second while he's getting this worked out. Yeah, I did catch a little bit of what he was saying about we're going to talk a little bit about Fontana this past weekend out there with the Auto Club 400 Sprint Cup Series event, especially, you know, they're coming to the end there with the flag. They kind of bunched the field up, kind of messed a few drivers up, and Kurt Busch, you know, coming to that flag, he had that race all but won at that point. But yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on what you thought about the race out there, what happened at the end, and you know, what you thought about, you know, Fontana in general now that the track is weathered a little bit better in.
Well, you know, I want to revert back to probably a month or so ago when you guys were having a conversation, and a friend of mine had said this to me over the weekend, and it kind of bugged me. You know, some people sit back and say, oh, it was a boring race. Well, to my perspective is if it's a boring race, find something different to watch, go to something else. As far as the finish, I mean, that was pretty wild. Nobody was expecting Brad to pop out like that. I thought for sure Kurt had it in the bag, and I was kind of hoping and praying he would, just so he could come out and make his statement saying, I belong. And I'm very proud of him. He did a wonderful job.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can take away from what Kurt did this past weekend. He, you know, as I said earlier, he had gone out there and he had paced every single the practices out there, all three of them. He was able to go out there and win that pole. You know, he was not that great necessarily on the long runs. It seemed like Kevin Harvick was much, much better when it came about five or eight laps into a run, and he would track down Kurt Busch or Denny Hamlin, who had been out there leading for some time, as well as Matt Kenseth, who had some issues late in the going out there, kind of put him out of contention with a broken axle. But, you know, Kurt did one heck of a job out there. You can't take anything away from him and what he's done. He's shown, and he's come back into the sport. It looks like he's much stronger than ever. Him and Kevin Harvick seem to be leading Stewart Haas Racing right now, whereas Tony Stewart finally got his first top 15 of the year out there at Fontana. And, you know, hopefully going forward, you know, those two guys seem to be the leaders right now as far as where they're going with Stewart Haas Racing into the future. And we're going to see both of them in the chase, no doubt. Kevin Harvick is obviously already locked in, but, you know, Kurt, he's on the cusp right now of getting that first win and locking himself in.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him be back up there in the front again for more of the races. I mean, Kevin, you know, one away from a sweep for the West Coast, that's really good. Considering, you know, he was winning in the Nationwide for Junior Motorsports, I mean, just phenomenal.
Well, you know, I think and this is just purely my opinion on this subject, is, you know, Kurt, with the issues that he's had in the past, and I feel like, in my opinion from the outside looking in, and I'm not trying to down anybody specifically on any issue, but, you know, it always seems like his attitude in the past has kind of got in front of his racing abilities. And now that he has been scaled back a little bit, through not only what happened, but as well as through the sanctioning of NASCAR, which is on indefinite probation at this point, you know, it seems like he's focusing more on the racing product and him as a driver. Getting back to 2003 when he was able to win the Sprint, I'm sorry, 2004 when he was able to win the Sprint Cup Championship, it seems like he's back in that right now. He's a better race car driver right now than he's been in over 10 years. And this, I feel, has been good for him and showing a lot better maturity on the racetrack with just everything that's happened to kind of prove people wrong that people can get second chances and come back and make something of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, AJ Allmendinger went through the same thing, you know, and look, he came back last year at the Glen when we were right there. He won. So he's doing the same thing, focusing on what they need to do, which I give him all the credit in the world because, you know, to put everything behind you and just concentrate on your job, I mean, has to take a lot of work.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I think Tim's back on here now, so I'm gonna throw it back over to him and let you guys keep on going.
Okay.
Hey, Tim, you on here? Maybe not. All right, well, we'll keep this rolling for right this minute until he gets back on here. You know, you brought up a good point with A.J. Allmendinger. A.J. Allmendinger, you know, he got popped right at Daytona, had put Sam Hornish in the car when he was back at when he was over there at Penske. He was out of a few events out there while he went through the road to recovery program that NASCAR had instituted for him. But he's become a much better race car driver, you know, over the last couple of years. Now he's over with JTG Daughtry Racing. He won last year. This year he's having some fairly decent runs out there, and that's kind of continued over. He as a driver, seems to be in a much better position. And you know, it's not all bad that, you know, he got, you know, these guys have been suspended from NASCAR. Sometimes these drivers will take this opportunity to reevaluate what they've got on the racetrack and what they really have as far as what's going on in their career and come back, you know, much better than they were before. Not everybody, you know, has this opportunity, and some of the people have, you know, not gone through the road to recovery program when it's been offered to them, and we see where they are today. But, you know, these two guys are prime examples where NASCAR is in the forefront of trying to better these drivers, not only on the racetrack, but off the racetrack, because these, you know, when it comes to the end of the day, these guys are just like an NFL or a baseball player. These guys are heroes to somebody out there that is watching them on the race this weekend. Somebody looks up to them, and NASCAR needs to be there on that forefront to ensure that that continues on into the future.
44, lady. Yeah. That's me. You gonna give me some coffee?
Hey, Tim, you in here?
I think you still have an issue.
Yeah, you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you, Tim. I think it's still having a few issues over there, but, you know, going to Martinsville this weekend. You know, we just talked to Mike Smith on here. The first event of the year, we've been on such a small track. We're going to put 43 cars on there. Somebody's going to have to use that chrome horn out there this weekend. We've had 5 races already this year that I'm sure somebody feels somebody has done to them, has done wrong to them. This is the first opportunity, as we were talking about, to kind of pay back some of these drivers out there that, you know, have the frustration has built over the year. NASCAR and Martinsville Speedway in general, you know, this has always been a bump and grind racetrack out there for drivers to be able to continue doing this. It's something that we see on a typical Friday or Saturday night short track, and it's most definitely some of the best racing that you're ever going to see throughout the racing year, just with those opportunities out there for the drivers to do this. You know, going into this weekend, you know, Todd, any driver out there you can think of that, you know, might feel they've been wrong this year, that this is going to be their opportunity to pay somebody back?
Well, I believe, you know, you're going to see something between a couple drivers, which, you know, I don't know if I should say their names, like Gordon, but, you know, I do foresee some revenge coming. You know, the short tracks, you see a lot more accidents this year. I think you're going to see more on the short tracks versus you do the big tracks. Because these guys, when it comes down to a caution near the last 20 laps, with these short tracks, they are going to be hammered down, fighting tooth and nail, just like this past weekend, to get that last win.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, one of the drivers that you definitely can't count out this weekend at Martinsville Speedway is going to be Jimmy Johnson. He's been so strong there in the past. And motorsports in general in the last, you know, 15 years or so has just dominated that track. Between Johnson winning multiple times, Dale Jr. last year finally getting his first win out there, and Jeff Gordon that has won multiple times out there. I don't think any of those drivers really right now that you're going to be able to count out this weekend. You know, you've got Kurt Busch again. You know, he won last year, put himself into the chase early going into the year at Martinsville. You know, this is going to be a track that one of those four drivers, and I believe that, you know, Kevin Harvick again, he's going to be right up there again. This is his opportunity to continue that streak of 8-plus races with a top two finish. You know, he's already surpassed Richard Petty, and he's surpassed other drivers. Jeff Gordon had 6 or 7, I believe, and he did that in 1996. Richard Petty had 8 consecutive, and I believe 1974, if I remember correctly. And you know, I'm doing this off the top of my head without looking at the history books, but you know, it's been quite some time since we've seen a dominant fashion out of one driver. Kevin Harvick last year was his breakout year. He had been through Richard Childress Racing for multiple years, had lackluster success out there, but he came to Stewart Haas Racing and did something that it was just unbelievable. New team, new car, you know, starting off the season with nothing and won the championship. And he's shown already this year with his domination in the first 5 events, 2 wins already out on the West Coast, that he's ready to go into this chase this year. He's ready to defend that championship this year. But, you know, Martinsville is one of those tracks that it's almost like a restrictor plate track. You never know what's exactly going to happen out there on a weekend.
No, you definitely don't. And I mean, you know, they're only, you know, 63 miles from their shop for most of the guys that I know. And, you know, that's their home track. And they put everything into it to see to it that their cars are top of the line, top of par. Now, honestly, I watch short track racing on TV. I've never experienced a live, you know, being at the track. Well, this year we get to go to Dover for the first time. And I'll let the cat out of the bag more in May. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to being able to see the whole track first, where at our Watkins Glen track, being a road course, you only get to see a little bit. So it should be challenging.
Well, you know, at Dover, I'm about 2 hours away from Dover. It's right on the eastern shore, away from what way is out there from me. You know, in all the years, I've never made it out to Dover, and Dover is a track that's changed over time, especially with the racing out there. You know, we've seen some fairly decent pileups out there. It's such close quarter on that concrete out there, and, you know, that's something that you're going to see this weekend. At Martinsville, going from the asphalt to the concrete out there, it's a transition in this racetrack. It's going to produce a little bit different racing than we typically see at the mile-and-a-half racetracks. And, you know, as you just said, it's one of those things where it's interesting to see, because I know a lot of people may not have gone and seen, you know, a track so small where they can see everything. You just mentioned Watkins Glen, where you see a little bit in front of you, and that's it. And from there, you know, you go to Martinsville, it's such a small track that no matter where you're at in the house, you can see the entire racetrack. So So it gives you a different perspective sometimes on the racing out there, especially up close at Martinsville and Dover.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Can you hear me? Okay. Y'all got me good now.
Yep, gotcha.
Okay, my mic, come on, please. Stephen, thank you very much for getting me back, bud. I owe you one. Stephen, I know you want to talk to young Jake Griffin. Right, we've got him waiting. We've got Tony B. Let me bring Tony B on right fast. I've got Tony's button that he really loves, and he's probably going to get mad whenever I play it. But this is Tony B's button to bring him into the Tony Bejesus effort. Everything goes up on wheel. Let's bring Tony in.
Hey, my little friend, how are
Tony,
you guys?
We're doing good, and I want to give a big shout-out to Todd Bisbee, Todd's on, Stephen's on. I had a little, for some reason, my mic on my home studio, on my Focusrite.
Uh-oh.
Nah.
Did you lose it again?
Yeah, I think you may have lost him yet again.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah. I'm here.
I'm just glad to know that you're still talking to me, since I am leading
over each other. But we've got
pretty good.
Jake Griffin, driver of the number 63 Chevy Silverado for MB Motorsport, making his NASCAR Camper World Truck Series debut at Martinsville Speedway. Let's bring on Jake Griffin, and then I'll step aside if y'all can hear me, y'all. Let's bring Jake Griffin into the pit stop. With Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Jake, it's Tim Spain. Thanks again for taking time out to call in our show. We've got a lot of callers calling in. We've got myself, we've got Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. We've got Tony B. This is his segment, Everything Open Wheel. Todd Bigby from upstate New York, his home track is Watkins Glen, and you got the floor, bud, and Stephen, I'm going to let you have him first, because you got to go, so Stephen, you go on with Jake Griffin. He's going to make his NASCAR Camper World Truck Series debut this weekend at Martinsville Speedway.
Hey, Jake, Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. This weekend is going to be your first attempt there in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. So I'm a fairly young guy out there that's going to be out there competing. And you're going to be with MB Motorsports this weekend with, I believe it's Philip Daniel Group on board with you guys. Tell me a little bit of how this all came together. I know that you had come, you know, from short tracks. I believe you were racing into Dirt Series at some point. You know, how much is this – how did this all come together, and how is this – going to be a little bit of a change for you to be able to go out there and compete in the Camper World Truck Series?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And it started off because my dad, he owned a nationwide team back in 04 and 05, and he became good friend with Mike Mittler, the owner of MB Motorsports. And so we got to talking as I was getting older in the ages. I mean, I'm 16, not that old, but as I got old enough to drive the truck series, we called him up and I wanted to see what we could do to be able to drive his truck a few races this season, and it all worked out good.
And how much of a change is this going to be for you to get this kind of first start out there in the Camping World Truck Series? You're going to be going against a lot of guys out there that have been in this series for a fair few years. And, you know, what exactly is your guys' expectations out there with you running your first event?
Oh, you know, I mean, I think we'll be pretty good. I think our goal is to run all the laps, you know, maybe – a top 20, top 15, and just be there at the end. And I know my guys are going to do their job, so as long as I can do my job, I think that's a realistic goal to have.
And going forward, you know, what else are you guys going to look forward to this year in the Camp World Truck Series, or, you know, are you more or less focusing on your dirt career right now and kind of using this as a gauge for to further your career down the road?
Well, the dirt program is going to be real busy this year, but we're looking for sponsorship to run a few more races this season. I think we have a gateway almost lined up. We're not 100% yet on it, but it's almost lined up with the MB Motorsports car or the truck. And then we want to do Eldora because of my dirt background, so we kind of want to do that a little bit. But we're just working on sponsorship to try to make those happen.
Well, Jake, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. I'm gonna throw you back over to Tim or Tony, whoever wants to take you next. And, you know, good luck this weekend out at Martinsville. It's a tough racetrack out there, those tight corners out there, and hope you have a good time out there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Thanks.
Hey,
thanks, Stephen.
You got me. Take it away,
Tim. Marie and the boys, we said hello, bud, and be careful going to Martinsville. I'll talk at you on the flip side, Stephen. See you, bud.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
10-4. Okay, listeners, that was Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. And we've run over into Tony B's segment, Jake, but I want to ask you just a question or two here. I seen on social media where you've done a test at I-44 Speedway. How'd everything turn out up there, bud?
Oh, yeah, the test went really good. We tried to practice everything that we can to make sure that we're going to be spot on for the race. You know, I practiced the restarts, our pit stops, everything else because, I mean, I've never done a pit stop like that in a race with the asphalt 8 miles. We didn't get the chance to do one of those races. So we really made sure I hit that hard. And the restarts starting in second gear is a lot different than the late miles also. So we basically hit everything we need to do, and it was a really good test.
10-4, bud. And you talk about asphalt forwards, dirt, and you know, you're going to Martinsville Speedway, which is sort of flat. You've got the concrete corners, the asphalt straightaways. I've never been to I-44 Speedway. Is it all asphalt all the way around? And what is your take on maybe the turns 1, 2, 3, and 4 at Martinsville Speedway being concrete?
Yeah, Lebanon's not really we weren't really looking for a lot of setup when we went to Lebanon. Basically, it was the closest track, and we were looking to just give me some seat time in the car and get a feel for everything I need to do. But, I mean, it's all asphalt all the way around. It's got a lot of banking and everything. So, like I said, we weren't really looking to go there and, you know, dial in a setup. It was more just to give me the feel for the car.
Yeah, I was 10-4, Jake. And you talk about a car versus a truck, which I know you're on a short track. How much difference does a car drive on asphalt versus a truck? Can you touch a little bit on that, bud?
Yeah, the truck's obviously a lot heavier, and so you gotta be easier with it through the corners because it kind of wants to bring the back end around. And this is something I found out also during the test this weekend and late models and stuff. If you have a brake bias to the rear, it's going to loosen the car up. And the trucks, it's the exact opposite because the truck's so heavy that it's going to bring the back end around if you have your brakes to the front. So that's kind of something I learned. But the truck, definitely you have to be a lot easier on the throttle, and you can't charge the corners as hard as you could in the late model or stuff like that. But all in all, I mean, it's a race car. So, I mean, still had the kind of same aspect of how you want to run the line and everything else, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, 10-4, Jake. And obviously, you know, with the truck having a higher center of gravity, the right tires is going to take a lot of pressure on. But, Jake, I know you're pushed for time, and I keep saying we're in Tony B's segment, but we've got my good friend Todd Beefy from Upstate New York. His home track is Washington. And I want to give Todd a chance to ask you a question, and then I'll hand you over to my good friend Tony B.
You guys are doing great. Keep going with it.
Hi, Jake.
Todd, are you there, bud?
Jake.
Yes, sir.
I follow you on Facebook, and I keep up with everything with you. I think it's great that a young man like yourself is going up into the trucks and making your debut at Martinsville. Going from your car to your trucks, you know, I know you were saying about the difference. But mindset, is it totally different, like, for what you have to focus for between the two?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more to think about in one of these races. And, I mean, with the pit stops, and, I mean, you're going to have, I think, 31 other cars out there. Unlike, you know, the local tracks or even the big races, they don't usually start that many cars. So there's a lot more to think about. And spotters are on the radio a lot more, obviously, because there's a lot more action going on. But, yeah, it's, you have to play the mental game a lot, as well as the physical game. I mean, it's Martinsville, and it'll be wear and tear on your car, on yourself, and just who can stick it out until the end.
All right. And my other quick question for you was, how old are you?
I'm 16.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate you answering my questions and taking the time.
Hey, thank you.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Todd. Todd, and I'm going to leave you on because I know, but first, I want to, Todd, stay on. I want to introduce you, Jake, to a good friend, Tony Vigenski, front tire carryover for Dario Franchini when he won a 2012 Indianapolis 500. And also, he won a 2013 Rolex 24. And also, ASA National Safety Director. I want to introduce you to my good friend from Indianapolis, Indiana, Mr. Tony B. And, gentlemen, I'm going to make a pit stop. Tony, you got the floor with Jake. Todd, you stay on with him, bud. I'll be right back.
How you doing, Jake?
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going good. I wanted to really wish you well, and I hope you get to Gateway. That's a good place to run, and I even know some dirt guys that'll be over there trying to run as well. I really want to see you at Eldora. You know, I have to put out there my thoughts and prayers are with the Baldwin's family. We did lose Mr. Baldus and at 93, and he was the founder of Eldora Speedway, and may he rest in peace. And he sure had a lot of famous people there. And Tony Stewart owns the track now and is doing it justice. And him and Roger Slacker are doing a good job. But do you think you'll get that deal for Eldora, Jake?
We're working on it really hard. We have a few sponsors that we're trying to get lined up for Gateway first, and then if we get Gateway done, because Gateway is only an hour and a half from and not only my house, but I think it's only an hour or so from the Midler Brothers shop. So we definitely
awesome.
Want to get Gateway lined out first, and then after that Eldora. But Eldora is definitely on my list.
Now, I was looking at your page. You're on your dirt program. You're running a modified?
Yeah, open.
Okay.
Open motor,
yeah.
Dirt modified, yep.
Yeah, okay. You know, in some places they're called IMCA modifieds, and some places they're called other things. But the bottom line, to me, you know, when you get to go watch Kenny Wallace and Ken Schrader run those things. They're pitching them in just like a sprint car. And the setup and, you know, strong modified V8. And I think you'll do extremely well in a truck with everything that you've got under your belt.
But yeah, definitely.
Martinsville's going to be a test.
Yeah, Martinsville is definitely going to be a learning experience. You know, it'll be my first real big race, and So, I mean, it'll be a big jump for us, and I think it'll all go good. You know, we have MB Motorsports, and they've been running the Truck Series longer than anybody else. So, you know, I have them behind me, so it should go really good.
Well, it's a beautiful truck, and you guys are doing the right things, and hopefully you'll be able to maintain some sponsors and, you know, just get out there and drive like you always do, and people are going to notice you and get seen on TV, and, you know, it sounds like you got a good background, and you say your dad used to own Xfinity car or a Nationwide car?
Yeah, he actually owned a Busch team back in 04 and 05, like I said. It was the Red Cactus number 73. I mean, they ran a season or two. I mean, they had some luck, but, I mean, it was one of those underfunded teams. But, I mean, they were there, and everybody knew they were there.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, this is a good team with the truck, and you'll definitely have a lot of good laps there and get you plenty of seat time, and you'll get to practice and qualify, and things will go well for you. And, you know, we want you to touch on who your sponsors are and get your name out there during the show. So we can, you know, talk about your social media and how people can get a hold of you in case they want to sponsor Jake Griffin, because we want to help you get to where you want to go. You know, that's what we're doing with racing now. And, it's just an awesome thing. When you run the asphalt, what kind of car was you? Late model K&N or CRA, or what are you doing on asphalt in late models?
We've ran CRA Tour, the ARCA Super Series. The most we've gotten is a super late model, but I mean, we've been to tracks like Winchester, and we actually went to Memphis
a few
years ago, and Nashville Fairgrounds. We qualified on the pole down there for the All-American 400, the pro version of that. So,
I actually
super
know
late models,
the All-American 400
late models.
Because I used to be the National Safety Director for ASA, American Speed Association, and that was All-American 400 was our race. So if you can do good there, you can do good anywhere.
Yes, sir.
If you'd like to take this time and talk about your sponsors and the people to help you and give them a shout-out, feel free to do so, because we want to try to get you some help and get you going in the right direction, Jake.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at JakeGriffin08. I'm on Facebook at Jake Griffin Racing, and we have some great sponsors. People Against Distracted Driving has been on with us for a few years, and they're just a great organization that's going out there to stop all the distracted driving. And Mike Pelinia, or the owner of PADD, his daughter died in a car accident a few years ago, and ever since then, he's been set out to stop distracted driving in the world, and we're happy to have him on board and happy to be supporting him. Then we have Johnson Logistics on for the truck race, which was a last-minute deal that worked out good. Sam Johnson Engineering, Miller Brothers, definitely. We couldn't do it without all those guys. And all the fans out there, I appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you every week. You guys are what makes it happen, and just everybody that's helped me out along the way to get here. I appreciate it.
Well, that's fantastic, and you made good mention of all your people. And how much time have you spent on Eldora Speedway, Jake?
One more time.
I'm sorry. How much time have you? How much track time do you have at Eldora?
Actually, you have to be 16 years old to run Eldora. So I just turned 16 in November.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't
okay.
Haven't had any track time there yet, but there's a few tracks around here that are kind of like it that I've been to a lot.
Well, as well as you know, I've been reading on you and looking at your statistics and whatnot, and I was at Eldora when Kyle Larson ran it the very first time, and he won the Four Crown Nationals. So
yeah.
You can do the same thing, and you know, it's just, you know, the only difference is the style of track that you're going to be on. You know, the cars are basically the same, dirt to asphalt. The setups are different, and you got to, you know, you got to drive them different. You can't, you know, but. If you've had experience at Winchester, you know, it's the same as Salem, and that's a high bank, really quick track, and you've had a lot of good experience. So you're going to do really well. And I look forward to following you. We're friends on Facebook. And,
yeah.
I'll get you back to Tim here and see what we got. Tim, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Thanks again, Tony. And Jake, I know Tony just did a great job of letting you do your social media stuff, and we're gonna be watching Saturday, Bud, and Kroger 250, and hope you do well, son. And we'd like to have you back on the show at a later date, Bud. We appreciate you coming on.
Hey, I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on the show again.
Thank you.
All right, 10-4. You're welcome, Jake. Be careful, son. We'll watch you on TV, hey. Bud.
Godspeed,
hey,
man.
You.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jake Griffin, driver number 63 for MB Motorsports. Tony, you have, Todd and Tony, y'all have any last thoughts on the upcoming race weekend here at I'm in Talladega, up at Marvel Speedway.
Well, hopefully the weather holds out well, and, you know, Stephen had it right. You know, there are some people that are really shining right now in NASCAR, and I think they're going to continue to shine. And the change in the from the super tracks down to short tracks and smaller tracks is going to make things a little different. But, you know, there's a pretty good field of cars right now with NASCAR, and really looking forward to that. And everybody needs to know that IndyCar, St. Pete, they race this weekend, and it's going to be a big start for a lot of guys in IndyCar, and so there's a lot going to be going on this weekend, and just everybody, please remember in your prayers the Baltus family, and God bless Earl Baltus for everything he done for every driver he reached out and touched, and may he rest in peace. And there you go, Tim. You can have her.
Amen, Tony. Like you said earlier, Godspeed. Todd, you got the floor, bud. Go ahead.
I just hope everybody has a good and safe weekend at Martinsville and wherever else they're racing. And I got to say something to Tony B, because, you know, I think about you just about every day, because you were with Dario Franchini when he won, and mm-hmm. I happen to have a book that Chip Ganassi put out in 2008 that has Dario mm-hmm. Franchini in it, with the hauler and the race car, and that was three drivers on that team, and it was Reed Sorensen. And I forget the third person, but every time I see that book, I do think of you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, you know, Charlie Kimball drives for Ganassi and Scott Dixon. And, you know, Tony Kanaan now. So they still got a good field. And Ganassi made a statement that they were really trying to focus on what they've done wrong with the Indy Racing League is they've always had bad starts and come back to win championships from being behind the eight ball, so to speak. So they're really focusing on getting a good start at St. Pete. So, you know, got to throw it out to them. And also, also a Ganassi driver, Scott Pruitt, which I won the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona with him and Juan Pablo Montoya. And it's his birthday today, so happy birthday to Scott Pruitt. Back to you, Jake. Or Jake's gone, but hey, we'll just throw it around. Right. It don't matter.
All right, I'll jump in here, y'all. We won't take too much time. Just want to I'm going to throw out the schedule for Mark Raffiwi. I'm not going to hit on everything, but Friday, the 27th Sprint Cup Series qualifying at 4:45 Eastern Time. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. And then go into Saturday, Camper World Truck Series qualifying, 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time. Fox Sports 1 has your TV coverage. And then same day, Saturday 3:28, Camper World Truck Series Kroger 250, the race, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports has your TV. And then the big finale for the STP 500 Sprint Cup Series on Sunday, March 29th. At 1 p.m. Eastern Time, MRN has your radio coverage, and Fox Sports 1 has your TV, which is going to be the first time ever the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series has been televised on Fox Sports 1. Any last thoughts, gentlemen? Tony B., Todd?
I will say Fox Sports 1 is doing a tremendous job, and they have my vote to stay doing what they're doing. And I appreciate the good work that they do. It helps the sport.
10-4, we do too. Todd, any last thoughts, bud?
No. Welcome back, Tim. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is good to have you back.
My mic, come on, plug just a little bit. But anyway, Tony, thank you very much for being a good friend. You're setting everything up on wheels. Sorry everything went like it did. And, Todd, thank you very much for being a good friend, a good supporter from upstate New York, your home track, Watkins Glen. And we're going to say good night from Talladega, Alabama.
Tuxedo waiters, black tie, white tablecloths and red wine. We've been planning this night, looking forward to it for some time. Now, honey, I know you love getting dressed up, and you know I love showing you on, but watching your baby blue eyes all I can think about is getting you home. Walking through the front door, seeing your black dress hit the floor. Honey, there sure ain't nothing like you loving me all night long. And all I can think about home. I don't need this menu, no I don't. I already know just what I want. Did I hear you right? Did you tell me? Go pay the waiter and let's leave. Now honey, I know by that bound is getting me home. Walking through the front door, seeing your black dress hit the floor. Honey, there sure ain't nothing like you loving me all night long. And all I can think about I